Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium, a conversation with Daniel Jackson. Daniel Jackson's life took an extraordinary turn when he discovered his calling as a spirit medium. Growing up in a small town in New Jersey, Daniel's connection to the spirit world began in a haunted house, leading to a lifetime of paranormal experiences. From sensing unseen presences to witnessing activity in every home he lived in, these encounters were a constant part of his life. However, it wasn't until his 50th birthday that Daniel fully embraced his role as a medium. Now he communicates not only with spirits, but also with angels and archangels, offering spiritual guidance and helping others find their true path. Daniel shares his journey and the profound impact these experiences have had on his life, and what it's like to be called by God to bridge the gap between the living and the spirit world. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with Daniel Jackson about his book, The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me. You've got a book out that came out, is it a couple years ago now?
Yeah, it's been about 2 years. I wrote it in 2021 and it came out in 2022.
Now, the book is called The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium. I found your book so interesting. You know, I think in this world, we all have our own paths that we're on. And your path to me is fascinating. So if we go way back to young Daniel, when you were a child, you kind of grew up with spirits around you your whole life, it sounds like.
Yeah, my parents and I and my two brothers and my sister, we lived in a town in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. That's where I learned to drive too, so don't drive near me. We lived in a town that was right on the Delaware River, right across from Philadelphia, and there was a battlefield there, and there was a hospital on that battlefield, and cannon everywhere, and all kinds of trenches and stuff, and they did a big dig back there maybe 2 years ago, and they found all these, like hundreds of bodies buried together, but of course, they're not just going to bury one in a battle, and from that, we were experiencing spirit in my house all the time, but some of the other houses in that area were also experiencing it, and the neighbors would talk about it. I recall seeing them as far back as when I was 3 years old, and it just continued on. But yeah, I, like, my sister was getting ready for school one morning, and she was, my mom was helping her, and they were in the bathroom, and they stood in front of a full-length mirror, and they saw another woman standing in the mirror. She had on a colonial outfit. My two brothers and I were downstairs watching TV, and my sister's record player, two flights up, turned on. But that wasn't the weird part for us. It was switching records, so it would take a record off and put another record on. And then my one brother sent me and my other brother, the middle brother, me and him, I'm the youngest, upstairs to turn it off. So we ran upstairs and turned it off, but that didn't help because they turned it back on. So,
you know, when I read that in the book, that kind of gave me goosebumps because that happened to me when I was a kid. We lived in a haunted house, came in at the, been gone all weekend at my grandma's house, came in, and the record player turned on. And yeah. If you remember, you know, they had that arm.
Yeah, you have to lift up the record, you put it on the little post. And
if the arm was down, it just plays once through and then it stops. And the arm was down and it started right in the middle of the album. And
yeah, I had a kid come over to my house one time because he wanted to witness it. You know, they all wanted, the neighbors did. And we were in the kitchen eating sandwiches because nothing was really going on. And then all of a sudden the radio just turned on and the volume went right up and just got super loud. And he actually turned white and ran out of the house. But he would always tell the other kids, oh, I was there and the radio turned on. And I would laugh my butt off because I saw him turn whiter than any ghost I've ever seen. So, yeah.
Now, did you kind of think that, I mean, and experiences were happening to other family members, so definitely there was activity in your house.
Sure.
Did you kind of at the time just think, it's a haunted house, and then I moved to another haunted house?
Well, yes, because after that home, my parents and I and my middle brother and me, we moved down to Delaware. My other brother only stayed there for about a year, but he moved back. But yeah, it was continuing to go on, but it wasn't continuing to go on for everybody else. It was only happening to me. And I would tell my parents about it, and they would just tell me, oh, don't worry about it. It'll probably go away. But it never did go away. It just increased. I was around 22 or 23, something like that, and I was playing in a rock band. I was a drummer in a rock band. I had big hair and I wore zebra stripes spandex. I thought it was cool and shit, but not really.
Well, it was back in the day. Everybody thought it was cool.
Back in the 80s. Yeah, in the 80s. So, and I came home from a gig, and it was about 5 o'clock in the morning by the time I got home. And I laid down in bed, and then something laid down next to me. I can feel the bed squish down and the pillow squish down. And I would roll over and look around and see what the heck was there. And this happened like 3 or 4 times, but it was that fifth time when it did it again, I rolled over, and when I did, whatever was there brought the blanket that was on top of me up to the ceiling, and it shook it above me, and then it dropped it on top of me. And for 2 weeks after that, or probably more like two years, I slept on the couch downstairs because I was so scared from that.
I would have too, because that would have terrified me.
Yeah, it terrified me.
It's doing something super extreme to get your attention. You got my attention, but what do you do with that information?
Right. That's all it did. It didn't try to kill me or hurt me or anything like that. It was trying to get my attention.
And this just continued and continued in your life. And so were you thinking as you went along, because, you know, you only know what you know. And did you kind of feel like it's just different haunted houses, things are following me? At what point did you start going, why? And wanting more information about this and trying to dig a little bit deeper?
I was always told I was sensitive to them, as well as my sister was, but I was more sensitive, found out later on. But I just, you know, I got used to it after a while. It just became regular life. I would be driving down the street in my car, and I'd get a chill go up my spine. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I start looking around, and I'm riding past a graveyard. So it's just those types of things were happening all the time, but I never really questioned it. I just had ghost stories to tell all the time. I mean, people would tell their ghost stories around campfires, and then I'd tell my stories, and they'd be like, oh, my God, you know, what do you got going on there? But
Daniel never ends with his ghost stories. Like he's,
I always had something because something was always happening. But it wasn't until right before I was turning 50 that's when it got really strange. But I mean, even in my 30s, I had a couple of things happen when I was married to my first wife, and I had had a foot operation, so I had to wear one of those Frankenstein boots, and we were at the mall. And I told her, I said, look, I got to go to the bathroom. So she stood outside the bathroom. I walked in and I went into the stall and I sat down. And immediately when I sat down, I heard a voice come through. It said, everything will be okay, my son. And I was like, I mean, it vibrated, echoed in that room. And I was like, what? And I stood up and I looked around. There was nobody in the bathroom, nobody in the stall next to me. And then I finished up, I got out of the bathroom. And my wife was still standing there. And I said, did anybody walk in the bathroom? And she said, no. And I said, so no one else walked out of the bathroom or went in? She said, no, I've been standing here the whole time. And I said, okay. She said, why? What's wrong? I said, I heard a voice. A voice came through and said, everything's going to be okay, my son. And she said, maybe it was God talking to you. I said, I don't know. So that happened again, but in a different way. I was riding home on my motorcycle. I had separated from my wife, and I was riding down the road listening to some music on my little iPod. And as I was going down the road, the music went, like it slowed down like a tape. And then the same voice came through and said, everything's going to be okay, my son. And all of a sudden, music turned back on, but I pulled over and I tried to go through that music, that song, because I knew which one it was, like a bunch of times, and it wasn't there.
And so, you know the song so well, you know that's not on the song.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So at that point, did you think, something is trying to get through to me that maybe it's not like ghost stories and hauntings and all that, maybe it's me, and I'm seeing...
Yeah, not until right before I was turning 50. That's when it really, because I had seen spirit my entire life and just sporadically here and there, you know, but again, you got used to it. But it was right before I was turning 50, my wife went away on vacation to see her daughter out in California. And we were living in Delaware. And for those 2 weeks, I saw everything you could ever imagine that was in a scary movie happening in my house. I saw green and red mist pouring out of the walls. I saw skulls coming out with red eyes and fangs. I saw these 8-foot skeletons walking around the house. I saw this mythical hat man appear in my basement. It was just, I saw this window, like this cloud in my room, in the bedroom at nighttime. And this window kind of opened up, a blackened window. And I saw a skeleton arms come out. And then it pulled a body out. But the skeleton arms didn't have any hands, which was kind of strange. To me. And then it just stood there and scanned around the room, and then it locked eyes with me, and then it went above my head, and then went behind me, and then it disappeared. So, and then I had a cloud that would come out of the corner of the bedroom, and the cloud one night would be yellow, the next green, the next red, the next blue. And then the next night after that, it would come out yellow with black stripes in it, and then green with black stripes, and then blue with black stripes each night. So it was a different thing every time. But I didn't, when that cloud came out, I kind of felt the presence of a woman there, and I felt that everything was okay. But that hat man thing, that was pretty strange too. And then the skulls floating around, one night it'd be maybe one or two, and the next night it'd be four or five. But always saw that green and red mist pouring out of the walls, like it would be coming out of a witch's cauldron type thing.
Ooh.
So it was just pouring out of the walls. And I saw these little creatures coming out of the walls, and they were walking around on the floor and coming up on my bed and stuff. So,
did you think at the time, like, because I think I would be terrified and questioning myself, like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I seeing this sort of thing?
Yeah. I was, every night I had to go to bed, I was very uncomfortable going into that bedroom. It was terrifying at that point. But by the time my wife came back from vacation and she told me about her adventures, I told her about mine. Now, she thought at that point, maybe there was something going on. I'm diabetic, and she thought maybe my medications were causing me some type of diabetic psychosis, but that was just not the case. And so it was at that point. I think we weren't quite married yet at that point.
And now this is your current wife, correct?
Yeah, and she was questioning our relationship at that point, but for about 3 days, and then it was 3 days late after that 3 days, she started seeing some of the same things. And then she said, oh, because she had had some spiritual experiences before, but not to this to this magnitude. And then she started seeing some of the same things. And when she did, then she's like, okay, there's something really going on here. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure it out. So I really wanted to figure it out at that point. I was almost going crazy at that point, I felt.
I bet.
But yeah, I wanted to figure it out. I didn't know anything about being a medium or if I was going to be. I had no inclination what about any of that. I was just trying to find out why I was seeing so many spirit, why there were so many in my house, and why they're everywhere I go.
And is that when you started kind of trying to search out people who you could talk to and help you kind of uncover this?
Or yeah,
I think.
Oh, yeah, that's when I was like, okay, well, let's go on the internet. And so, I mean, we did all kinds of things. First, we looked up maybe some remedies from the internet. You know, we put crosses up everywhere. We put salt around the bedroom. You know what that does? It makes your bedroom salty. That's all it does because it doesn't do anything. Because physical items here have absolutely no effect on spirit. They don't. So,
I have a question about that, and I'd like your opinion. Because sometimes I think, I don't know if salt helps or if sage helps, but does it help you think it helps?
No, it doesn't. It's the sage does that. You can burn all the sage and cedar sticks all you want, and the only thing you're doing at that point is setting off your fire alarms, because that sage, that smoke and that smell doesn't transpire or transpose into the spiritual realm. It doesn't. And the beings that are in the spiritual realm, they're in spirit. They don't have bodies anymore. They don't have lungs. They don't breathe. They can't smell. So again, the only thing you're doing is setting off your fire alarms. That it has no effect on them whatsoever. Nothing. Crosses don't have any effect on them because the cross is a form of punishment. How are you going to make a negative energy go away with a form of punishment? You're not. Mm. Okay. So salt, nothing. Holy water is just water because men cannot bless it. They just can't. But as long as you are putting out positive energy, putting out positive vibes, then those bad ones will stay away. But other spirit are just there because spirit are everywhere. It doesn't make a difference where you go. You can go to Walmart and find spirit. They're everywhere. I mean, everywhere I'm at, I see them everywhere. So, but some of them are good and some of them are not, you know. And as I know, some spirit want to be seen, but most don't. That's all. I mean, they're now living life. It's uninterrupted. So why would they want to be bothered?
And for you, seeing that at first, I could see why you would be, I need this to stop.
Yeah.
And shut it down.
Well, no, but I didn't really want it to shut it down. I just wanted to figure out why
what
I was seeing so many. Yeah, why I'm seeing so many.
And I would question that too. Like, why me? Why am I seeing this sort of thing?
Even after finding out, I still questioned it for a long time because other things took place. So we eventually, I found a paranormal group and had them come to the house. They showed up in their little van with their little insignia on the side. And I just thought to myself, I don't want to be this kind of famous because people are going to see that truck.
It made me laugh in the book because I get that. Like if you're having problems, last thing, you know, if I'm having carpet cleaners, my neighbors are going to be like, oh, Carol's getting her carpet cleaned. But if I have some paranormal group, investigation group come up and everybody's like, well, Carol's getting the ghosts removed from her house. You know,
I'm living next to a poltergeist house.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately for them, they were.
And so that's an interesting story, too, when the investigators came.
Yeah, that was... I mean, my wife and I were happy that they came and happy that they got all the information that they did. because we didn't know if anything was going to happen, but so much happened that we were happy because there was someone else who was experiencing it as well as us. And so I didn't feel crazy anymore. They got everything that I was getting. I mean, maybe a little bit less, but like when they had me go in my bedroom and lay down and pretend I was sleeping. And then they brought one of these spirit boxes in, this thing called an ovulus. And it had like a vocabulary of like 5,000 words or something. And, when they came in, they turned it on, and immediately, as soon as they turned it on, it said, Wendy, Michael, Paul, Helen, unique, special, light, energy. It said the word road like a street. When it said road, a car went past my house, and I was laying in bed going, whoa, that was kind of cool. But then they started asking questions, and one of the questions they asked was, are you here to harm Daniel? And then that computer voice came through and said, we are not here to harm Daniel. We love Daniel. We love Daniel's light. Daniel is the light. When it said Daniel is the light, I was like, what the heck is that supposed to mean? I mean, but they asked these questions for like 10 minutes. They timed it. It was 10 minutes exactly. And then they stepped out of the room and they were in a huddle. And I said to my wife, what's going on? And she said, I don't know, something. And they were taking pictures of me walking around the house with a camera, some type of crazy camera. Never doing that, every time they would do that, if they took a picture of me by myself, I had 15, 20 light orbs completely surrounding me. Mm. If it was a picture of somebody else, nothing. If it was a picture with me and them, I still had all the light orbs around me, and they had nothing. So they had the little boxes that had little lights and wires on it. And I said, what are those for? And he said, well, they put off static electricity, spirit doing. I was like, really? He said, yeah. He rubbed his hand on the couch and waved his hand above it, and they all bloop lit up. And I was like, oh, cool. And then he set them up around doorways and stuff like that. And then when we went into the bedroom, I walked in. And when I walked in, every one of them lit up. And then I turned around and looked at them like, what's going on here? And they said, we don't know. And they walked through and nothing happened. So, but that just continued throughout the entire investigation. Anytime that I was near those things, these things were going off like Christmas trees.
And when you heard that, Daniel is the light, did you think, what the hell? What is this? I'm the light.
That was crazy. I mean, when they got done that little voice box thing, I looked at them and I said, you got all that, didn't you? I mean, that was cool, right? And they said, well, we got it, Mr. Jackson, but there's an issue. And I was like, an issue? He said, yeah, there's an issue. He said, whenever we use a spirit box, we can get it to spit out a word or two. He says, but it never says sentences, and not for 10 minutes. And I said, but it wasn't bad stuff. He goes, no, but we got to figure that out. But they left the house, and they said to be back 2 weeks later, and they didn't come back. They actually got on my front lawn and quit. The guys, when I finally got a hold of them like 6 weeks later, he said, we're not coming back. I can't get the team together. They're too afraid to come into your house. And he was too afraid to come back into my house too. So it was after that I was looking for mediums, and I found five of them. None of them knew each other. Every one of them told me the same story about me. one of them in particular told me she wanted me to come to her show. Now, she said that because she said, I want you to come to my show because I want you to see how I do this. And I had no idea what that meant. So I bought tickets and told my wife and said, we're going to go see this medium and her show, and hopefully we'll get to talk to her. So we go in, she's standing on the stage, and there's about 50, 60 people in there. And as soon as we walk through the door, she locks eyes with me. And then she just watches us walk through the place and then sit down. And my wife says, that was really creepy. And I said, yeah. And she said, did you tell her you were going to be here? I said, no, I didn't. I just bought tickets because she said she wanted me to come. So she ended up reading eight people in the room. One of them was me. She said a man came through and his name was Robert, and he wore these flannel shirts and business suits sometimes. And he passed away from falling down. And she said, does that resonate with anybody? I said, yeah, that's my dad. His name's Bob, but he goes by Robert, but he wears a business suit when he goes to work. He wears flannel shirts around the house. And the way that he died was he fell up a flight of steps and it moved his brainstem, and that's what basically did him in. And she said, then who's Sarah? And I said, Sarah, my niece. She said, no, Sarah, who made the big decision for your dad to pass. I said, oh, that's my mom. Her middle name is Sarah. She had to make the decision for the doctors to pull the plug. So, and then she said something about he's showing me a school bus and looks like prison bars and somebody like dressed like a doctor. I said, yeah, that's me. I said, I went to school for medical records and now I work in prison.
That's so interesting that she would have got that.
Yeah, so how could she get all
right.
that?
Right.
It was after the show, I went down and I said, hi, my name is Daniel Jackson. And she said, oh, I talked to you on the phone a couple of weeks ago. I said, yeah. You told me to come out to the show. So we enjoyed ourselves. And then she looked at me like I was a 7-year-old and she was my teacher. And she said to me, stay right here. Don't move. Wait till everybody leaves. You and I need to have a talk. And I was like, oh, crap.
What did I do?
What did I do, you know? And then, so everybody left and she said, so I understand that you see a lot of spirit. And as I explained to you, I said the same way to her. I said, lady, you have no idea. It's like being in a room with 1,000 people, except nobody leaves and more just keep coming in. I see that many all day long. It never turns off. It never goes away. I'm constantly surrounded by these people and dogs and cats. And she says, oh, you're seeing everything. I said, oh, I'm seeing everything. And she said, well, they're coming to you. That's why you see so many. And I said, they're coming to me? Why would they be coming to me? And she said, when spirit sees you, they see your body frame, and then they see a light inside of you. And that's your soul. That's how they see everyone. She said, even when you came into the room, I saw you, but I saw you the same way the spirit does, and they don't see you like they see everybody else. I said, what do you mean? She said, all I saw was a figure, like you look like a human figure, but you're just light. You're all light. You're no frame or anything. You're just a walking light bulb. And I was like, okay. She said, you're a beacon of light. She said, they're coming to you because of that light. And I said, why would they be coming to that? She says, because they think that you're light into heaven. That's why.
Oh, wow. That would be a lot of information to take in.
Yeah, well.
That would be a lot.
She was trying to be as forthcoming with me as she can because she wanted to make a point that eventually she told me, she said, look, what you need to do is you need to have this figured out. So you need to have a sit down talk with God and see if you're going to move forward with it. And I said, move forward with what? And she said, oh, Daniel, you're a medium. You're just untrained. She said, but you're the brightest one of it. I've never seen somebody as bright as you. So you need to have a talk with God and see if you're going to figure this out or move forward with it and use your ability. I said, to do what? She said, well, these spirits are coming to you. They want you to help them. They want you to cross them over. I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what you're really talking about. She said, you need to have this talk with God. He will help you figure it out. But, you know, you got to be right with them before you do that. So I said, okay. And she said, I know you don't want this to go away, do you? I said, no, it's been a part of my life, my entire life. But she said, okay, well, then you go home and have this talk with God. And when you start figuring things out, you know, let me know and I'll help you a little bit. But she really didn't help me too much after that. But I went home. My wife and I were talking about it on the way home and we were discussing the whole night. And then when I got home, I looked at my wife. I said, well, I guess I got to have this talk with God. And so I said to her, I said, how do I talk to God? And she said, well, she's very good at putting in things into perspective for me. And she said, just talk to him like you talk to him any other time.
Mm.
And I said, sorry, it chokes me up every time. And I said, okay. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to say. She said, you'll figure it out. I said, all right. So I went into the bedroom. I turned out the lights and I basically said it like this. I said, all right. I said, God, I said, I don't know what it is that I'm doing here. I don't know what's going on. But if this has something to do with me helping the spirit or maybe even helping people, I'll do whatever you want me to. If I said to him, whatever you want me to do, I will do. If you want me to go somewhere, I'll go. If you want me to, whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll do it 110%, whatever you want. But I need help because I have no idea what's going on here. And I need help for somebody to help me to figure this out. So after that, I got up and I went out of the bedroom and I said, okay, I told him I'll do whatever he wants me to do. And she said, Okay. And that, but it was the very next day after that that everything started to change and a lot of those scary things started to go away. Now, I still saw strange things. I mean, my wife, we actually set up a camera that she had because her son was bringing in some friends we didn't like. So we had this night vision camera. And so we set it up in the bedroom when I would go to sleep at night to see if we could catch anything. And then the minute she walked out, I rolled over and then I was laying in bed and I thought she was coming. She came back in the room because we had our bedroom completely blacked out. My wife was a nurse who worked at nighttime, so she had to sleep during the day. So I felt her put her hands on me. And when I felt her, I rolled over. It wasn't her. It was a 7-foot skeleton standing next to me and he had his hands on me. And then I sat up out of bed and I said, "What do you want? What do you want from me? What are you doing here?" And it kind of looked at me surprised and it backed up and it went into the wall and disappeared. So when I went to get my wife to look at her phone because it was hooked to her phone, she said, "It's not working." And so we went in the bedroom and the whatever was there turned the camera off.
Mm.
So and those things were still happening, but they were happening less of the bad stuff. And then that stuff kind of went away for a little while. And then I was just seeing everything else, people, dogs, cats, horses, cows, fish, everything, other beings from other worlds. And then eventually the bad stuff did come back in. But it was at that point, that's when I found out I was protected from everything. So, yeah, no problem.
Did you work with someone to kind of help you work through how to deal with all of this?
Well, you really did read my book, didn't you?
I read the whole thing.
I ended up, I found a lady who also did, she would investigate homes, but she had an intuition group. And she told me to go to that. So I went to that because, again, I didn't know anything about this. I mean, so much so that in that first night in the intuition group, people are going to find this funny because it is. This girl at the end of the class, she said, "Have you ever tried Reiki?" And I said, "Ah, I don't like yard work." And she's like, my wife said, "No, that's not what Reiki is." Because I got jokes, you know, and I was like, "No, I never heard of that before." And stuff. But because when I first went into that class, I told everybody there what was going on and they all looked at me like I was crazy. So after a couple of those classes, the lady said to me, "Hey, I'm going to form a group. They're all mediums and to sit around and talk about this stuff." She goes, "I would really like you to join this group because I think we can help you." And I said, "Okay." Because they were all, I went to that group and I showed up. And when I walked, there was a girl outside and I talked to her for like 10, 20 minutes. And then I went inside and I said, "Hi, my name is Dan." And as soon as I walked in and did that, everybody in that group kind of like went backwards, like, "Oh." And I was like, "What? What?" And they said, "Oh my God, turn that down. Can you turn that down?" I was like, oh, the lights. They said, "Yeah, can you turn that down?" I said, "I don't have any control over this. I don't know what's going on." And then I proceeded in to tell them what's going on. And they were just like, "Oh my God." They're all one girl sitting there taking notes and shit. So then I kept going to that group and they were helping me to figure it out. And they did. If it wasn't for them, I don't know where I would. I mean, I'm sure I would be got along somewhere, but they really helped me out. They helped me to figure everything out. I mean, even to the point where one time I was, before I went in, again, I'm hearing voices come through, and I heard a voice come through and tell me, "I want you to sit with this woman. Her name is Siobhan. I want you to ask her if it's okay. And then I want you to hold out your hands, clear out your minds, and then let her hold your hands." And they said, "Then just watch." And I was like, "Okay." So when I got to the meeting, I said to her, I said, "Siobhan, they want me to sit across from you and we're supposed to clear out our minds and I'm supposed to put my hands out and then you're supposed to grab my hands." And then when I said that, one of the other women in the class, she said, "Are you going to channel?" And I was like, "I don't know what I'm doing. they just told me to do this." And they said, "Oh, we got to watch this." So, because they knew something was coming, they all sat down and then we did that. And it's when I did that, I put my hands out and then she grabbed my hands and then she looked like she got jolted with electricity. She was like, "Oh," and I was like, "Are you okay?" She's like, that's the most powerful energy I've ever felt in my entire life. What is that? And I said, I'm not sure. And then she said, oh, I know what it is. And I said, what is it? She said, I see your archangels here with you. And I said, oh, yeah, Manos and Helen. She said, yeah, Manos is like as big as a mountain. She said, oh, my God, they're huge. They're both huge, but he's really big. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she started telling me stuff. And then that went on for maybe 5 minutes. And then she went into this other thing and was all about me. And she was telling me all the stuff that they were telling her about me. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And that group lasted for about a year. I ended up channeling with each person two or three times because they would tell me which person to channel with. And then every time I channeled with them, a different archangel would come through. Jesus came through a couple of times, and two or three times God came through.
Because when I read that part in the book, if I ever had even a dream where Jesus came to me, you know, like a visitation dream, that just feels so different. Cool. I don't know how I could process that. It would be shocking. It would be, why me? There would be a lot of emotion, I would think, would go with that. How did you process that?
Because when he comes and sees me, I see him, three, four times a week. But I see archangels. I don't ever not see archangels, ever. Mm-hmm. When he comes in, I'm used to it now. There's a different feeling of calmness, of love. There's no fear whatsoever. All that just goes away. Even the very first time I saw God, I saw him. I was really sick. I had the flu really bad, and I ended up going in the hospital for it and had cellulitis with my leg and shit.
Ooh, that's
and
bad.
But I saw him, and when he came through that time, I've seen him six times, but when I seen him that time, he came through, he looked like the Greek god Zeus. He had big muscular body. I can only see him from the torso up. And then he had long gray hair, and he had crow's feet, which was kind of cool. And then he came through and he told me, he said, everything's going to be okay, my son. When he said that, I was like, oh shit, that's who talked to me the previous two times. And he said, everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. He said, I just wanted to come here and let you know that you're going to be fine. But this is just something you needed to go through. And I was like, needed to go through. And when they come through, I mean, there's just a sense of calm that you've never felt before. Like everything's just going to be okay. But now I'm just to the point where I'm used to it. And then same thing with archangels. When I'm in the daytime, I see them in front of me on each side of my eyes here, on my peripherals, but in front of me now more. Well, if you've ever seen someone smoking a cigarette and you see little petals of smoke come up, that's what I see in front of me all the time.
Okay.
I see it right now. It's at nighttime. It's when I see them. When I was first seeing them, I'd be laying in bed and I'd see these bluish white lights coming up out of the floor in my peripherals. If I turned my head, it would just disappear. If I turned my head straight again, then it would be right back then. And if they'd be coming out of the floor, and I could kind of look down and they were just coming through the floor and then go through the ceiling. And that's how I saw them in the beginning. But now I actually see them for who they are and what they are and their actual, I see their true selves. They show it to me because the type of connection that I have with them. They are not men with wings and shields and swords. They're not, Michael's not glowing purple or anything like that. He doesn't even look like a human being. When I see all the archangels in front of me, I see 8-foot praying mantises standing around me, and I'm completely surrounded. When I see Archangel Michael, he looks like a combination of like a moose and a horse. He's got this big wide head with these floppy ears, but he's got these wolf eyes looking, and no antlers or anything, but this big long body, kind of like a horse with this short fuzzy hair. But yeah, they're not people. I have some that are people. I have one. Her name is Helen, and she was an Egyptian princess. And apparently, when I was alive back then, I was in a relationship with her. But some of them look human. Some of them look humanoid, and some of them I couldn't even describe to you. I've seen some that look like birds and other animals. Like when I'm in my bed at nighttime, every night I see these two eyes in front of me, and these eyes are huge. They're like 2 feet across, like looking at King Kong in the old movies. And they're just sitting there in my room, and I see the eyeballs themselves moving around, and they're scanning the whole room, and they're scanning for negative energies so that they can protect them from me. And then when I see, even if I see one and they're not looking at it and I see it, I will say to them, hey, guys, can you get rid of this thing for me? Because these things will come up to me, and I'll ask them to leave, but they're pieces of crap and they don't want to leave. So I ask them to get rid of them. And then when I do that, I see these like globs of white light come out of nowhere and attack these things and make them go away. So I'm absolutely protected. I can walk into any haunted house anywhere. I mean, I go everywhere I go anyway. And none of those negative ones can touch me. Regular spirit can still touch me because they see the white light and they walk up to me and they touch me, pinch me, poke me all over my entire body. There was one that was touching me last night, but I know who he is. And I was at this American Legion. But they're touching me to figure out what I am. It's when I start talking to them, and then I try to cross them over. But that happens all day long. I see them around me, and when I see them around me, I walk through life now without fear, because I don't feel it anymore. I don't have that sense. I can sense it from other people, but I don't feel it anymore because I know everything's going to be okay. When they're around that. I mean, I follow everything they tell me to do. And I'm riding down the street in my motorcycle, and I'll say, I need to take this right-hand turn. And because I get touched on my face. When I get touched for a yes answer, I feel like a finger going across or going across my forehead or right above my eyebrow or other different places. And those are yes answers. When I get a no, I only have one no answer. And that is, it feels like a tear running down the side of my eye. So I feel it. So when I wrote the book, I think I said I had like maybe 12 or 15 of them. And that was 2 years ago, and it's progressed now. And then now I have 68 different touches by 68 different archangels. And I know every one of the names who's actually doing it and when.
And that wraps up part one of our three-part conversation with Daniel Jackson about his book, The New Beginning, My Awakening as a Spirit Medium, available on Amazon. For more information on Daniel, visit his website at spiritmediumdaniel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.